Oh, what a love between my Lord and I. I keep falling in love with Him over and over and over and over again. Give the Lord a clap of praise. Amen. You shouldn't be the same one, amen, that when you came to the Lord, you should be further in love with Him today than you were yesterday. God help us. Amen. Just before we sing the next one, I just want to thank each and every one of you for your love offerings. Amen. For the church. Brother Dale, we appreciate that. Sister Peggy, thank you so much. Half of it has already been used to pay for that land over there. So they're getting that money right now as we speak. And we just appreciate each one of you. But most and foremost, please keep us in your prayers. Because my desire is to hopefully somebody, maybe the last one, is on this trip. And then we come back and we go together with, amen. Who knows? So that's my desire. Amen. But thank you very much. May God bless you and reward you back twofold. Amen. Tenfold. Amen. Is my prayer. Praise the Lord. Can brother sing, bring that song up. And I just wanted to say, saints, that everything that you gave, amen, we will make sure that it's be used for the kingdom of God. Amen. Just as Brother Branham said, you know, want to make sure it's used for the kingdom of God. And so we got things lined up that's definitely going to help out. Praise the Lord. Amen. Let's sing the song, Worthy is the Lamb. Then we have a few specials. Amen. Praise God. Thank you for the cross, Lord. Thank you for the price you paid, bearing all my sin and shame. I love you came and gave amazing grace. Thank you for this love, Lord. Thank you for the nail-pierced hands. Wash me in your cleansing flow. Now all I know, your forgiveness and embrace. Worthy is the Lamb seated on the throne. We crown you now with many crowns. You reign victorious, high and lifted up, Jesus, Son of God, the treasure of heaven crucified. Worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb. Sing that first verse again. Oh, thank you for the cross, Lord. Thank you for the price you paid, bearing all my sin and shame. In love you came and gave amazing grace. Thank you for this love, Lord. Thank you for the nail-pierced hands. Wash me in your cleansing flow. Now all I know, your forgiveness and embrace. Worthy is the Lamb seated on the throne. We crown you now with many crowns. You reign victorious, high and lifted up, Jesus, Son of God, the treasure of heaven crucified. Worthy is the Lamb. time, sing that chorus once again as the Sister Frida gets ready. Worthy is the Lamb seated on the throne. We crown you now with many crowns. You reign victorious, high and lifted up, Jesus, Son of God, the treasure of heaven crucified. Worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb. Is he worthy this afternoon? Amen. Praise the Lord Jesus. Sister Frida.
Years of time have come and gone since I first heard it told how that Jesus Christ would come again someday. If back then it seemed so real, then I just can't help but feel how much closer his coming is today. For the signs of the time, they are everywhere. Upon the eastern sky, lift up your head, redemption draweth nigh. Wars and strife on every hand, and so much violence fills our land. Still some people doubt he'll ever come again. Oh, but the word of God is true. He'll redeem his chosen few. So don't lose hope, for soon Christ Jesus will descend. For the signs of the time, they are everywhere, and there is a brand new feeling in the air. Just keep your eyes upon the eastern sky. Lift up your head, redemption draweth nigh. Wars and strife on every hand, so much violence fills this land. still some people doubt he'll ever come again. Oh, but the word of God is true. He'll redeem his chosen few. So don't lose hope. Soon Christ Jesus will descend. For the signs of the time are everywhere, and there's definitely a brand new feeling in the air. Just keep your eyes upon the eastern sky. Lift up your head. Redemption draweth nigh. Oh, keep your eyes upon the eastern sky. Lift up your head. Redemption draweth nigh.
Appreciate that, Sister Frieda. Amen. Lift up your heads, for the redemption draws nigh. It's not time to be sad. Let's look up. Praise the Lord. Let's just take up our offering before we have our last special. So, where's Jonas at? Jonas, can you help us take up our offering?
God, thank for this day and thank for all you've done for us, and bless the tithes and offering, and keep Louis safe on his trip to Honduras, in Jesus Christ's name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Jonas. We got the group singing a special, so they want to come up. Praise the Lord. Tell you what, when kids pray, I take that seriously. God listens to kids. Amen. But since sometimes we're not like kids, he doesn't listen to us. But he told us to be like kids.
This ain't a song about chains, 'cause my chains are gone. This ain't a song about the past, 'cause I'm moving on. No more songs about guilty with words like regret. Every melody sound instead. This ain't a song about chains. No, my chains are gone.
I found my freedom in you. I found a joy I can't lose. And I thank God it's true. You wrapped your arms around me and heaven broke through from the moment. I found my freedom in you.
about the blood that washed my sins away. No more song about broken with words like defeat. Every melody sounding like
I found my freedom in you. I found a joy I can't lose. And I thank God it's true. You wrapped your arms around me. Heaven broke through from the moment you found me. I found my freedom in you. I found my freedom in you. Since I found my freedom in you, I found a joy I can't lose. And I thank God it's true. You wrapped your arms around me, and heaven broke through from the moment you found me. I found my freedom in you. I found my freedom in you. I found my freedom in you.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you. Amen. Praise God. Come on, sisters. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord Jesus. Have you found freedom in Christ?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Why don't we stand to our feet? Why don't we just, let's sing, Take Up Your Cross and Follow Jesus. And we're going to have Brother Dale come and have Brother Dutch, come. So, Kiev F. Take up your cross and follow Jesus. Take up your cross and follow Him. Once again now. Oh, take up your cross and follow Jesus. Take up your cross every day. Don't be ashamed. Take up your cross and follow Him. Once again now. Oh, take up your cross and follow Jesus. Take up your cross every day. Don't be ashamed. Say that you know Him. Just count the cost. Take up your cross and follow Him. Oh, take up your cross and follow Jesus. Take up your cross every day. Say that you know Him. just count the cost and take up your cross and follow Him.
Yes, the Lord Jesus. It's a wondrous cross, is it not? Amen. It's a wondrous cross. God bless you, saints. Amen. Good to be back in church. Amen. Good to be back in church. Amen. This is a little earlier than I'm used to. Our service at home is not till 4. So usually about this time I'm home studying the backside of my eyelids. So if I fall asleep up here, y'all just say a real loud amen. And if that don't work, start throwing something. Amen. If I see you dozing off, I'll start throwing something too. How about that? Amen. I'll throw a rock of revelation. How about that? We'll stone each other here this afternoon. Amen. Amen. Let's go ahead and get started here. Amen. I'm going to go back to the book of Daniel here this afternoon. And while I'm turning there, I just want to say thank you again to Brother Dale. Amen for giving us this opportunity. It's been a wonderful day, Brother Dale. Amen. I really appreciate you. Appreciate your hospitality and everything. Amen. And you got a wonderful group here. Amen. There's a lot of good saints here. Amen. We love you guys. Amen. Also, I don't know if Brother Wade is listening in. I think Sister June said he did. Amen. Just tell Brother Wade if he can hear or whatever, we're praying for him. We love him. Amen. And when he gets back and gets rested, he's got to come back and, amen, bring all y'all. Just come on. I don't know if we can fit all y'all in our little place, but y'all are all welcome to come by and we'll just have a good time at home. Amen. We certainly will. Also, on another note, I heard you praying also. You were praying for Brother Ed Binkley from Brother Siler's church. If I'm not mistaken, he passed away. He passed on to his reward on Thursday or Friday. I forget what it was. Amen. He was burned over 83% of his body. They had tried to find skin to do skin grafts, but he was just burnt so bad. I think the only place they could find skin that wasn't burnt was under his belt and maybe in the bottoms of his shoes and his feet. He was severely burned, and can't be sad for him. When you think about it, that's rough, but you still think about it. Man, where he's at now, rejoicing in a new body, no pain, no hurting, amen. But certainly want to be praying for his family, that's for sure, amen. Sister Dot had reached out to me and said they were hurting really bad. The family was really hurting bad, so amen. God's able. God's certainly able, amen. All right, let's just bow our heads one more time before we get started here this afternoon. Dear Heavenly Father, again, Lord, we thank you for, Lord Jesus, just this chance one more time, Lord, to get together. We say once more, dear God, and there's coming a time, Lord, we know that there'll be a time soon, Lord Jesus, when we won't be able to do this, Lord, when the last church service will have been done, Lord, the last song will be sung here, Lord. God, we know that time is soon coming. Lord Jesus, we just want to look faithfully forward, dear God, to that time, Lord, because we know what's in store for us. We know the joy that's waiting just beyond the way. So, Lord, we just pray, help us, Lord, to be faithful here this afternoon and going forward, Lord Jesus. Take these words, Lord, that you've given us, these words of life, Lord, and, dear God, just let them live inside of us. Give us a faith, dear God, that will surpass anything, Lord, this world has here below. Lord, bless us now, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Daniel chapter 10, again, same as this morning, but I'm just going to read one verse, verse 1. Later on, we may make it, I don't know, I won't promise, but we may make it a little bit further down, but I'm going to just read verse 1 for right now. And the scripture says, of course, in the third year of Cyrus, king of Persia, a thing was revealed unto Daniel. And I'm going to stop right there. God bless you. You may be seated. Amen. All righty, I'm actually just trying to get myself back to where I left off this morning. I think I was talking about Jesus cursing the fig tree and no man eat from thee from henceforth forever. I mean, done. That tree is done for, right? It's gone. And then I hit on our theophanies, the thought of our theophanies, and it was done as far as I was going up here. Amen. I was completely out. There's no way to get back to the thought and the notes here. So it happens that way sometimes. Amen. It certainly does. And there's nothing wrong with that. But Brother Branham said if the bullet ever gets off target, you've got the only way you can fix it if you bring it back and start all over again. Right. Don't worry. I'm not going back all the way to the beginning and try to preach that over again. Amen. But I am going to try to get back with where we're at and go from there. So we were talking about faith, of course. Only believe, right? Only believe. Believe the thing that was revealed to you. That's what we had come to there. Don't doubt. Don't doubt it. And you know, sometimes you don't see, as we were talking about with Jesus, sometimes you don't see the results perhaps, but if it's a true revelation, it's going to bring forth. Amen.
Right.
God will bring it from the roots up. He'll build it right. He'll put a foundation in. Amen. And that's just settled. It's established. It's going to be. And we say, praise the Lord for that.
Right.
Don't doubt it. And say that again. Don't doubt it, right?
Amen.
Don't doubt the word of faith, because that's what it is. It's a word of faith that's God to give you. And you've got, once you have that, once God has given you that spot for whatever it is here, whether you're young and it's a word of salvation or something you're looking for, and maybe something, a calling that God's put in your life, or, you know, there's any myriad of things that it can be, that how God reveals himself to you. But once that personal faith is settled down there, don't doubt it. Don't doubt it. Hold on to it. And listen, if you got a doubt, sometimes you're like, I just can't help it. I can't help doubting. You know, some people are like that. Some folks are like that. Well, if you're going to doubt, if you got a doubt, if you just got to doubt, well, then doubt your doubts. I had a sister years ago. She would always come up, brother, what if? And brother, what if? She was worried to death. She was always worried and upset and everything, never settled. Brother, what if? What if? And I said, but what if not? I mean, my what if not is just as liable to happen as your what if. You know, you don't know. So doubt your doubts. If you have to doubt, and that devil's going to bring that stuff there, but just doubt your doubt on the thing. Faith has a much better track record than doubts do. Faith works 100% of the time, right? Amen. Faith works every time that it's used. So, amen. And doubt fails every time that it's used. Amen. So if you got a doubt, just doubt the right thing. Doubt your doubts. Have faith in your faith. Have faith in your faith. I like that. Amen. So praise the Lord. True faith. Genuine faith. It must be revelation straight from God, that. So anyways. So this is the thing. We were talking about Daniel, and I'm trying my best to get to Daniel here. But this is the thing that was revealed to Daniel. It was a revelation. And you go back and you begin looking, and I like looking at words sometimes. And this word thing here. We think, well, a thing was revealed unto Daniel. I just love the way that was phrased there. It sounds like something somebody from Plainville would say. That thing that was revealed. That word thing there, actually, I love it. It's not like we would think a thing would be, well, you know, this pencil could be a thing. This mic here could be a thing. My Bible, physically speaking, could be a thing. It's an object. It's a noun. But actually, in the Hebrew words, when we go back and we look at this word, it's not a noun.
Right.
And it's not an object. It's not even an object. When you go back and you begin looking at this word here, this word thing here, it means actually speech.
Right.
And words. And even more speaking. So it's an active, and more than a, it's not a noun. It's actually a verb. It's the action or the speaking, the speech that is spoken. The words that are spoken in message terms, you know, in modern day message terms, we would call this thing the spoken word.
Right.
Praise the Lord. A thing was revealed unto Daniel here. It was a spoken word that was revealed to Daniel here. Amen.
Right.
Remember faith. We're talking about faith now. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Without this thing, it is impossible to please God. What pleases God? His word pleases God. Amen. That's why he said it that way. Without faith, without a true revelation, it is impossible to please him. Amen. But with faith, all things are possible. All things are possible. Amen. Praise the Lord. So here, only believe. And again, you say, Lord, I believe. I believe. I might feel terrible, but Lord, I believe, right? I might have all kinds of circumstances around me, but Lord, I believe. I believe there's a thing that has been revealed to me, and that thing that was revealed to Daniel is this spoken word. And the spoken word is the original seed, right?
Amen.
It's what God saw in the very beginning, what He had in His mind. He began to speak that. And that word, it was a living word. It was speech. God put it to speech. And we know that in the beginning, God dwelt along with His thoughts there. And those thoughts, of course, were eternal thoughts because God is eternal, right? Brother Branham said they were perfect thoughts. They were not thoughts that had to be fleshed out or worked or changed or taken back or anything, but they were perfect right from the start. They were eternal thoughts. That blows my mind. I have thoughts, and my thoughts begin somewhere, and then they kind of get lost along the way. But God's thoughts are eternal. They have no beginning and no ending. I took a journal one time, and because my thoughts get so disjointed, and I have a hard time reining them in, and I said, I'm going to try to journal. I'm going to try to put it down in a book and to where I can kind of keep order, you know, try to order my thoughts. I made it one page, and that was it. I said, there's no way. I put it down. 6 months later, I pick it back up. Let's try this again. Forget it. It don't work. My thoughts are just, they just don't line up like that. But God's thoughts are not such as that. God's thoughts were perfect from the very beginning. But you know what they lacked? You say, how can God's thoughts lack anything? They lacked expression.
Right.
So you could have all the thoughts in the world. I can think a lot of things, but what does it do? Right? The brothers, we were talking about GPS. We were talking about the GPS system out there, you know, after church this morning. And as a surveyor, we utilize all sorts of things, the satellites and such as that. But there was a time I got out of surveying for a while, about 2003, and there was, you know, GPS was starting to come out. But we did a lot of subdivision work and road work, and we'd have to go in and the surveyors had to put the, 100 stakes on your back and a hammer, and you'd go trotting out through there, just plodding through the hot sun. You'd be pounding these stakes in to lay out a center line and lay out the lines for the lots and all these things. And I got out of it for a while. And as I was out, me and my wife were going down the road one day, and going down the interstate, and I see this truck, this transfer go by, and it was a Caterpillar, like heavy equipment Caterpillar company truck going by, and had a big picture of a bulldozer on it, and it goes by, and I just had this those thoughts that you get sometimes. That's just like, man, that's it, And it was a thought of putting. I said, if I could take a GPS. And I could put it on that bulldozer, that GPS would know where it's at, and it would be able, that GPS would be able to tell that dozer and the blade where it's at, the elevation needs to be, and it'd be able to go through there, and it'd be putting a lot of us surveyors out of work, but man, I could make $1 million on this thing. And immediately I got on my phone while we were going, got on my cell phone, I got on my phone, and I called my buddy who was still in the surveying, who I'm partners with now, and I called him, I said, buddy, I got $1 million idea. And he said, what? And I said, and I told him what I was thinking. He said, Dutch, you're about 2 years too late. And I said, what? He said, yeah, they've already done it. They've done it. And you're right. It works just that way. And I was like, oh, man, that's just the way things work with me. I'm always a little slow on that. So I have these thoughts, but unless you can take that thought and you can express it, you can put it out there, then it's just a thought. It really doesn't do anything, right? So you see what God's trying to do with you, right? You see why He said without faith it's impossible. Without this spoken word, without this revelation, it's impossible to please God. Because His whole purpose is to express these thoughts that He had in His mind. I mean, you are such an intricate part of the Word of God, you don't even realize it. We think of a lot of times just in a nominal type of way of thinking that God so loved the world, for God so loved the world that He sent His only begotten Son, that whosoever will, and we have this, and it's almost like God's reaching down and taking pity on some lost puppy dog. And he saved you somehow, and He picks you up, and he you're a rescue dog or a rescue mutt or whatever, and God loves you, and that's fine, and He might take you in His house, and you could be like a lap dog to Him or something, and that would all be wonderful, like that. But don't you realize you are so much more than that? You are a son of God. You are a daughter of God. You are a part of the Word that He had in His mind before the foundation of the world. And He has done everything, even so much as going and dying on the cross so that you could come back to Him. That's awesome. That's awesome. And that's the thing that He's trying to get across from Genesis to Revelation, that is the theme of the whole Bible. It speaks redemption all the way through. Cycle after cycle after cycle. God just knocking at your heart and saying, see what I'm trying to do. See that how much I love you. See how much I want you. See how much I desire to bring you back to that place of fellowship. Look at who you are, church. So God spoke words or thoughts. But then God spoke and the thoughts began to be expressed. Praise the Lord. Now, of course, how do you express thoughts? You put them into words. And the words are the origin there. So in this case, the eternal thought of God that was expressed was in the beginning, the very beginning, we call it what? The Logos, right? And the Logos, which is the spoken word of God, which is Jesus Christ, which is Michael, which is the pillar of fire. You can look at all these things here, but this thing that was revealed to Daniel, this spoken word that was to be manifested, it was manifesting redemption cycle, this very thing that was in the mind of God from the beginning.
Right.
And the spoken word was manifest to create things that God had in His great mind before there was anything in creation. These eternal things, these godly things. And He spoke. And it was. It just was.
Amen.
Glory. Amen. Hallelujah.
Right.
It just was. It was. It came into existence and it wasn't hindered. Now we know that when God spoke, the Bible says that He had to believe His own words, right? Brother Branham said, He said, God, when God spoke, He had to have faith. Again, it's impossible to please God without faith. He had to have faith in His own word. So even to God, God had a revelation. He had a revelation
right.
on His own words.
Right.
That's awesome. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
That He actually had to have faith in His own words. And he believed His words. And it wasn't hindered. His faith wasn't hindered. He had no doubt when God spoke, let there be light. He had no doubt that it was going to be light. There's no doubt in God. It wasn't hindered. Ever how long it took it to come to pass, it wasn't hindered. Brother Branham made the statement one time. He talked about things, you know, things that we look and he said, well, science and faith don't really line up a lot of times. And they were talking about dinosaurs and they were talking about this and that and everything else. And they said, the timeline don't work. And Brother Branham said, listen, he said, God said, you know, in the beginning, right? He began to speak, it was there, and he said, but, and then the world was without form and void. He said, but a lot of things happened between that time, that period, but there's a lot of things that space could happen between that time. But you know one thing that didn't happen in between that period, between when God said, and there was form, there was chaos ruled, forgive me, my words are going completely out of my mind. The chaos ruled and all these things and then He comes down and God began to create. He said there's that space of time there. But one thing that did not exist in that time was doubt. That time, regardless of how much chaos was there, regardless of how much was there, one time Brother Branham would talk about a pre-Adamic state. He talked about the dinosaurs that might have been something that we just don't need to know about. It was before this and that and everything else. He says that. But all that chaos and everything was there, it did nothing to hinder the faith of God.
Right.
Saints, you got a lot of chaos in your life.
Right.
Did I hit that right? I do. Amen. I've already got people calling. I'm not going to be able to be there tomorrow. We can't do this then. And this one's coming in there. And then I'm like, just forget it. This is Sunday. I am not thinking about that. This is a day for faith, right? Not for scrambling, trying to get things done. But you look at all the things that we have going on in our life, all the things that are there. One thing that we have to realize is that above all, through all, overall, we have faith.
Right.
And that faith is unhindered.
Amen.
That faith is unhindered. It just is. Because God spoke. That's what it is. This is the thing that's being revealed. God spoke. He spoke. Speech. Words. Speaking. He spoke this thing. So here's a principle. It's a very simple principle. This is not something you don't know here. But here's a principle, a scriptural principle, that God has to speak. There's a thought. But before that thought can really take place in your life, he has to speak it to you. You can take the word, you know, these are the thoughts of God, right? This is the word of God. We say this is the word of God. But you know, we can look down here and we can see this, these words, but as long as these words are just right here in our head, no matter how true that is, it's not really reality to us yet. It's not really real yet, right? It's not a revelation yet. It's just something we've read here. But these are the thoughts of God. You want to know what God thinks about you? Read your Bible. I had a man tell me one time, he said, we can't know us little finite creatures. We cannot know the mind of God. I said, yes, we can. He said, no, we can't know the mind of God. We're too little. We're too this. We're too sinful. We're all these things. I said, we can know, and we better know the mind of God in our lives. And the way that we know it, this is what he thinks. This is the word of God. From cover to cover, this is the word of God. This is the revelation, the complete revelation of Jesus Christ, who is God, right? This is it right here. You want to know what God's thinking? This is it. But before this can be, now forgive me if I sound like I'm repeating myself. I'm just trying to beat the nail home, I guess. But before you, if you want to have the thoughts right here, before these thoughts can be expressed, God's got to speak it somewhere. He's got to speak it to you. So before it can be, God has to speak. And we read in the book of Daniel, and God spoke to Daniel, and he said there, the thing was revealed to him. A Hebrew word for the word thing there is daba. And it quite literally means, again, speech, word, speaking, saying, utterance. So you can see this is not just an inanimate kind of thing. If you want just a pew-sitting, church-going experience, that's not what this message is supposed to be. That is not what this thing is. This is supposed to be quite literally, it's utterance. It's not inanimate. It's an action thing. Right? That's why I like seeing your head. Amens. That's why, you know, a preacher likes seeing amen and the heads nodding and people engaging and everything else. Because listen, it's not just the preacher. The preacher is just he just gets up here and whatever. He wants to be, you know, the Lord take him and use him, whichever. But, you know, you're the one that's actually participating. You're not to be inanimate objects sitting there, no matter how tired you are or whatever. You're not supposed to just be sitting there and be an inanimate object. We're supposed to be a relationship back and forth with God. Something that's living, a living love that's there. Daba. It quite literally, again, it means speech, word, speaking, utterance. It's not something that is described as a noun, but it's living. It is action. It's that which has living breath behind it. Oh my. And this word daba actually originates from a word. It comes from the root word dabar. Same thing, but it has an R on the end of it. Which means, and my plainville language has butchered that, I know, but it means not just to speak. Now we're not just speaking. We're not just babblers. But it literally means to declare. And it's not like a declaration that's being made, but it's like declare. It's the action of declaring, right? So this speaker, God is literally, when he begins to speak these words, when these words, these thoughts are put into words, he's actually declaring right then. He's making a declaration. It's so. By my stripes, you are healed. Right? Yeah, He bled, he died for you. You are saved. You are a part of God. You're a part of me. I know the thoughts that I had of you, right? Good thoughts. Thoughts to bring you to a perfect end. Praise the Lord. He has these thoughts. It's to declare and to converse, as in a relationship again, a conversation. Converse. But to command and also to promise. And then there's connotations of to warn, threaten, but then to sing. Now, I don't know why they didn't put sing over with the other part there, why they put it after the threaten and the warn, but then also to sing. Amen. But regardless, these are not just idle words being spoken. This thing that's revealed to Daniel, these are not just idle words that are spoken by some babbler or some meaningless words that are breathed out by a madman. Have you ever been around people, and sometimes I have that problem, but have you ever heard the term word salad? You never heard the term word salad? My wife has because I use it sometimes. Word salad is when sometimes people will get to talking and they're just filling the space, the quiet. They don't know how to appreciate the quiet. And they'll start talking. But the words, it's really nothing. It's just words. It's just meaningless. It's just babble. And you're sitting there in your head, the guy that's listening is sitting here thinking, what is he saying? What does this mean? And then you realize it don't mean nothing. It literally don't mean nothing. He's just filling the space. Praise the Lord. That's not our God. When God says something, I knew one time, I can't remember now, but I knew one time how many words are in the King James Bible, 1611 version Bible, how many actual words that were in there. It's a lot. And there's not one of them that is meaningless. It's even more than that. You can read between the lines. And not a bit of that is meaningless. It has a purpose to it, right? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, saints. Amen. They have these words, they have meaning and they have purpose. And they have direction. God knows his thoughts because he's bringing, and then he's bringing you to that promised end, that perfect end there, right? He's bringing you someplace. So these words, they have purpose and they also have a direction to them. It's words of God. It's amazing here. God don't, again, you know, people, the different denominations are different. The nominal Christians, they'll take a promise here. This is my favorite Bible quote. And that's fine, and we all got that, right? But this is my favorite part, and oh, this over here is this, and this, and there, but there's no connection between them, really. It's just something that you pick out randomly through there. But God's really not doing that. All these, the words tie together. Brother Branham said you can take any part of the scripture, and it can tie the rest of the Bible together. And he says, and you can look through here and you can find Jesus Christ in every verse of this Bible. And he said, and if you don't see him in every verse, go back and read it again because you missed something. Well, that's something that people miss is they miss the purpose and the direction of God. They miss the purpose of God. God has a purpose. His purpose is to bring you back to himself. And to bring you into that perfect image that he saw before the foundation of the world. And there's a direction to that. Praise the Lord. There's a direction to that. What did he say? The footsteps of the righteous are ordered of the Lord. You know what happens when you order footsteps? You go somewhere, right? You're not stumbling around and everything else. You look like this and, you know, you take a drunk man and he's stumbling around and everything else and you look at his feet, footprints, and your brother Brown talked about the young boy that was trying to follow in the footsteps of his dad and his dad through the snow and he's going out there and his dad looks back and his son's trying to, you know, do this and everything else, and it's because the dad was drunk and he was leaving drunken footsteps through the snow. And he said he got convicted over that. Oh, look, my son's trying to follow me. And what example am I leaving him, right? But the order of God is he carries you somewhere. It's got a direction. It's got a purpose to it. And we can look at his footsteps through the Bible and we can walk in those footsteps. Amen. And we bring forth an image, the image that he had in his mind before the foundation of the world. Praise the Lord. Your footsteps are ordered of the Lord. They are manifested words that are spoken words of God, and they are alive with the predestinated purpose of God. Aren't you glad God has a purpose for you? And God has a purpose for every bit of revelation he has poured in your life. Just have faith, saints. Have faith. So this thing that Daniel's talking about, I believe it's still being revealed today. I believe it's still going forth today. It's an eternal word. This thing that was in God's mind and in his heart and then was expressed in words. And then these words that are very purposeful and they have a definite direction to them. And these thoughts, and then they're made words, and then they're made real in creation. And there's a pattern here that God follows. Through his scripture, we can begin to see a pattern. There's a pattern here. In the message, who is this Melchizedek? Brother Branham lays out, I didn't give the brothers that quote, and I'm not going to read it, I'll just paraphrase it here. But in the message, who is this Melchizedek? Brother Branham lays out how God manifests himself again. He said, you know, in a threefold manner. He said, thought, word, flesh. I know you're very familiar with that. It's nothing new to you, I know. But So God has his thoughts. He has these thoughts, and then those thoughts are expressed in word form, and then God believes his own word, which he was, and the word becomes flesh and blood creation. Now, the principle here for our lives, and I'm not just talking in theological terms. In Message, we have our own theological terms. We do. You know, we can talk amongst ourselves, and somebody on the outside of the message or whatever, they look at you like, what are you talking about? You know, I believe a message. Well, they say, well, what message?
Yeah.
They have no clue what we're talking about, right? We've got our own terms and everything else with this. But there's message theology. But that's not what I'm doing here. I'm talking about this thing that's in our lives today. You see, faith has no hindrances. And this thing called faith in our lives, it must be unhindered. And the scriptural principle here is that before any thought of God can come to fruition in your life, first God must speak. If you want it unhindered, God must speak. That need, that thing you prayed for, that thing you longed for, that whatever it might be, that purpose it did, you say, well, Lord, I see this in your word, and you pray and you cry out to God. I can see it there. It's a thought of God, but then you begin to cry out, and God begins to speak. Once he speaks to your heart, once he speaks that word, thought, word, right? The thought, word. Once that comes and it hits that heart there, now we are at the thing.
Yeah.
Now we're at the unhindered part. Yeah. Now that word has become anchored down in your soul. And it just is. It just is. There's no other way to put it. It just is. That word is there. I don't care what you say. It just is. Faith has no hindrances. All things are possible. To me, this brings a little bit of a different, maybe a deeper understanding of only believe. Just only believe. All things are possible to them that believe. We take that scripture. I'm sitting here. There's a songbook. The Only Believe songbook here, right? And we say only believe. And we think, okay, I need this. And I go, Lord, I believe it, Lord. I believe it. Yeah, I believe it. I believe it. I believe it. I believe it. You, I believe it. You believe it. I believe it. But still, it's, until God speaks it, you really are not believing yet.
Right.
I'm really not believing.
Right.
It's just practical. It's all I'm doing here this afternoon. So what do you do before it gets to that spot? You cry out and you knock.
Right.
Lord, let this be a revelation in my heart.
Right.
Too many times we pray amiss, Brother Branham says. We'll pray, Lord, I need healing. I need healing, God. I need a touch. I feel terrible. I've got this. I've got that. And Brother Branham asked the question, and this was the strangest question for me for a long time. He said, why do you want to be healed? Well, gee golly, Brother Dale, I want to be better. I want to feel better. Right? I want my back to stop hurting. I want my strength back in my legs. I want to feel better. I want to be back like I was before. Brother Branham said, that don't do it. But Lord, you're a healer. But you got to believe. Well, I believe you're a healer. But now how do you believe? Has it been spoke to you yet?
Right.
And Brother Branham said, why do you want your healing? Is it just so that, now again, I'm paraphrasing here, but is it just because do you want to feel better? Or is it to manifest the Word of God? Is it for His glory? Is it for His glory? So you see where faith, you see where I'm driving at. It's very simple, but you see what real faith gets down to. Real faith gets down to the purpose and the meaning and the direction of the Word of God. It comes to a place to where really everything that I'm doing, I'm sick and I want to be better, but I want to be better for the glory of God. I want that Word to be manifest. But what if Lord's wanting to manifest endurance in your steadfastness or endurance or something like that in your body? Abraham had to wait 25 years. God could have given it just like that. He was waiting on a body change. Why in the world did he have to wait 25 years on a body change? And you think that's something. Job had to wait 3,500 years, more or less. He said, I know that my Redeemer liveth. And in the last days he shall stand, and I shall see him with my eyes. Not another one, but with my eyes I'll see him. And he was talking about the resurrection. And then Job got old and died and went to the grave. His flesh rotted and his bones actually turned back to dust. He was nothing but dust laying in a tomb. But that word of God that he had confessed, that he believed, that was a revelation to him, it was a seed laying there in that tomb. And when Jesus came back again, Job raised up and he could say, I see him. I see him. There he is. He saw him with his own eyes. Why? Because that word of God was a seed. It was that thing that was revealed to him. It was that word that was revealed to him. Oh, saints, praise the Lord for the hour that you're living in. That there has been a thing revealed to this last day. The thing of Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. The revelation of Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. Not just in the church ages, not just in the nominal beliefs, not in just all these things, but in a real, true presence and person of God Himself. The Word being manifested in lives, in your lives. You say, oh, if I could only have lived in the days of Brother Branham. Listen, you're living in the days of the bride. Brother Branham only spoke about your days. You're living in the days that Brother Branham wanted to see. He said, I'm only laying the groundworks. I'm only laying the groundwork here. He said, but there'll be another one come. I'm sorry, I hope I'm not stepping on any toes here, but I don't think there's an eighth one to come. I'm not looking for another prophet to come. There are prophets and gifts of prophecies and things like that, but there's only one word prophet for this generation. Amen. And he's come. And he was speaking of you, little bride. He was speaking of your day. He was speaking of the word of God that was being manifested in your life. And here we are in a message church. Sitting under a message pastor. That teaches a revealed word, a message for this last day. The prophet longed to see this day. And people say, oh, for the days of a prophet. I say, oh, for the days of the bride. Amen. 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 So Daniel here we read, Daniel shows us this very scriptural principle. This principle that the prophet of God emphasized over and over throughout the message there. Again, thoughts, words, flesh. Brother Branham refers also to Paul. Paul speaking to the Romans here. And Paul said in Romans chapter 10, verse 17, he says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And he hit it, you know, Brother Branham hits it in this, the quote we read this morning talking about the young mother and the young mother there and said, and she heard that Jesus healed epilepsy. Now faith cometh by hearing. So she'd heard. Words had to be spoken for her to have been able to hear these things. She heard that. But now, Brother Branham, if you remember again, he said, she wanted to get to Jesus because she wanted to hear those words basically for herself. She wanted, it was one thing she'd heard. She'd heard through testimony that God had healed epilepsy before. Perhaps it was the man that met him on the way down from when they came back from the Mount Transfiguration. I don't know the timeline there, but maybe it was the man that had the son and brought his son to the disciples coming down from Mount Transfiguration. And while Jesus and James and John, Peter are up on the top of the mount, here comes, you know, the man brings his son there and he's got epilepsy and the disciples are trying to cast him out, but they could not, right? And then Jesus comes down there and just gives us, oh, ye of little faith, right? And he gives the word there and he asked the man, he said, Lord, he said, do you believe? And the man said, I believe. Lord, help mine unbelief. That's an honest man right there. Help mine unbelief. And Jesus casts the devil out, epilepsy. Maybe this woman, maybe she'd heard that. I don't know. She'd heard that Jesus had healed epilepsy. So what did she do? She said, oh, I got to get to this man myself. I got to go see Jesus. That's a good thing, ain't it? I need to go see Jesus. That's the problem today is that people don't want to go see Jesus. Hello, it's the truth. They want to read. You can read your Bible. You can do all kind of things. But do you sit down there and sigh and cry for the abominations that's done in the city in here? Lord, help me. Help me. So she goes. She's heard that he heals epilepsy. So she goes because she's looking for a personal revelation now. She wants to go hear him say that her daughter has been healed now. You see, the word, she saw the thoughts of God. God's able to do it. But now she's got to hear the word of God.
Right.
I had a neighbor that was dying of brain cancer. He was a good man. He was a good man. Good Baptist man, but he was a good man. And he's dying of brain cancer, and I was trying to I'd go up and I'd help him every day. He wanted to be outside, so we'd have to, he couldn't walk or anything. We'd put a winch in there and we'd winch him up and we'd sling him over and set him down in a wheelchair. We'd roll him outside. He had a lazy boy chair set up in his garage where he could see outside and be in the outside air. And we'd winch him up and we'd swing him over and sit him in his chair, and he'd stay there all day long. Afternoon, late afternoon, towards evening, he'd be tired, just tired, and we'd go up there and we'd winch him back up, put him in the chair and carry him back into his bedroom, and we'd lay him back down, winch him back up and put him in his bed. And I told him, I said, Don, Jesus is a healer. God can heal you. You know what his words were? And I had my own parents tell me the same thing. They both died with cancer. They both told me the same thing pretty much. So God can heal you. And they all said, I know that God can heal me. If there's that bit of doubt in it. If he wants to.
And I told him all this, but he does want to. He's put it in his word. He wants to. He wants to heal you. He wants to bless you. He wants to show his glory in you. That's his desire today. That's his desire, is to show his glory, to manifest glory in you. That's what he's longing to do. He said, if he wants to, he can do it. But, I don't know. And he made the statement, Don made the statement. He said, and I'm okay if you don't. You see, even fighting brain cancer in the state he was in, he really didn't have an understanding of his need. And perhaps it was just, it was his time to go, and God was just carrying him out. Sometimes it is time to go. But I just thought this church age has robbed the people of their true potential. It's robbed them of faith. They don't know how to have faith. They don't know what faith is. They don't know how to look for the thing. They're not seeking the thing. They're seeking, they can read the thoughts. They can put things together and everything else, but they don't know the thing. The thing of faith, of revelation, has not really been revealed to them. That they may have the thoughts, but it's not even made it down to word yet. The principle is thought, word. God has to speak it to your heart. It has to become real. Words have to be spoken. And what were those words to that lady when Jesus spoke? They were the expression of the thoughts that God had for her circumstance, for her daughter's condition.
Did it die?
It just died.
It died. I soaked too long.
It's all right.
That's why I don't wear one of those things at home.
We got two more batteries. So.
No, we ain't doing that. I don't have my battery ain't that long. Thank you, brother. I saw that look. I knew something was up as soon as I saw Brother Aaron get up and the sister turn around. I'm like, uh-oh, something happened. I did it now. Oh, I really did it now. I just tore the clip off of it. Okay, I'm sticking it in my pocket now. Whew. Y'all okay? We can quit if y'all just want to give in to the devil. All right. That thing that was spoke. In all seriousness, I am so thankful for the thing that God spoke in this day. Amen. Amen. Can you imagine what that must have been to that mother? When that real word, not just the thoughts, but when that real word hit that your daughter can be made whole. Or is made whole.
Yeah.
You can have what you ask for. I mean, that thing, could you imagine such a thing? Such a thing.
Yeah.
When all the medical community said, no, there's no cure for epilepsy. Yet the seed of God planted in that little lady's heart, it said yes.
Right.
Thoughts made living words.
Right.
Declarations, promises, commandments even.
Right.
This thing God reveals to His own. Those ones who are to bring forth His word and continue down that path. That thing that was revealed to Daniel was God's word for His hour and His need and also for the ages to come. God knew. God knows. God knew that we would need to look back and hear that word spoke through Daniel to believe in our day. He knew what we'd have to have. And the thing revealed to that little mother was the thing that in God's mind for her need in her hour. Now what about our hour? What about our need?
Yeah.
I need a new body. I'll just be honest with you. I need a new body. I need to meet Jesus in the air. That's my need, right? That's my promise for today. That's the promise for the day. You realize we're sitting here and Brother Branham said the generation that sees the fig tree put forth its bud, it shall not pass until all things be fulfilled. My goodness, we're a long ways, we're 74 years or something like that since, or past now. But that generation is still going. Amen. That generation is still going. We must have faith, this undefeatable type of faith, this unhindered type of faith, faith that is unconscious easy, faith that is doesn't have, you know, without anyone or anything making it difficult to do something or for something to happen. It's not difficult. It's not slowed down. It's not blocked or interfered with. Without that spoken word delivered straight to your heart, there can be none of that though. Because this is hindered. The word can be read. The word can be sympathized with. The word can be understood with the intellect and all these things. But without the word being spoke to your heart, there can be no true faith. Oh, thank God for faith. Thank God for a faith that anchored down in your heart and told you that you were a child of God, right? Thank God for a faith that spoke down your heart and said, man, this message is true and I've got a new body waiting on me. Praise the Lord. You realize that the nominal churches out there, they're not looking for a new body so much. Now they there are many that believe in the rapture and all the different things like that, but you know, they're just looking for a grave somewhere. And if it be, I was talking to a man once, we were doing a job for a man and he was a member of some new church there in our area. It was a big church, it had drawn a big crowd and everything else, and they were kind of charismatic and we were, to be honest with you, I was having a good time with the dude. You know, we were sitting out there talking, we were talking about Jesus, we were talking about the blessings, we were talking about His presence and singing and this, we were having a good time and I was getting paid for it. And it was, I mean, well, I was having a good time out there with this guy. And then and we kept on and on. I said, and man, and Jesus is coming soon. I can't wait for that new body, that rapture. And he literally stopped in his place and looked at me and he said, I could care less if Jesus comes today or within 10,000 years from now. And he wasn't saying that in a good way. And I said, what? He said, I'm just having a good time down here and everything else. He said, I don't really think that he's coming like right now.
Right.
And I thought, huh, that's kind of enlightening. And I guarantee you it's because there were things of this world he was enjoying more than really even the blessings of God, right? I could care less if he comes. Just leave me alone for a while. Because you see, the thing had not been revealed to him. But man, you can get happy about a body change. You'd be crazy not to, right? You young kids, you might not be able to be, you know, as excited as us old folks are yet, but let me tell you, it's coming. Right, it's coming. Time lasts. You'll understand one of these days. Amen. Come quickly, Lord Jesus. I hope it does not get to that point. I'm ready to go home. Amen. Praise the Lord. But you see what I mean? It's a very scriptural thing here.
The scripture says also that, talking about a breathing word, a living word, that the scripture says that, God breathed into Adam the breath of life. And he became a living soul. I guess that's as in, as compared to a dead soul. But he became a living soul. So without that word, that word was spoke, it was breathed into Adam. If you go back and you look and that word breath there, that breath of life was put into Adam, that word life, I should say, is the same word that is used for the tree of life. It was the same thing. God breathed. He put that same life that was literally in the tree of life. It was in Adam. It was in Adam. It's the same life. It wasn't a different life. It was the same life. And in fact, Adam, Brother Branham said that Adam was literally, he was God on earth, right? He was a little Messiah. He was little M God, little G God. He was a little M Messiah. He had control. He could speak and in the natural world would obey him and all these things because he had that life on the inside of him. God breathed that inside of him. Oh, when God breathes his word inside of a believer, it has to bring things into subjection to it. Because it's not that believer, it's God that's doing it through you. God breathed into Adam. God in Jesus breathed upon his disciples. He said, "Receive ye the Holy Ghost." What is the Holy Ghost? It's the breath of God. It's the Spirit of God. It's the life of God. It's the force of God. It's the quickening power upon the word. Hallelujah. He breathed upon his disciples. Receive ye the Holy Ghost. What does he do to you what is it he does to you when you read this word of God, when you recognize that need, there's something comes up and there's just something begins to move and you say, that's it. Amen. I believe that there's just something moving there. You know what he's doing? God's breathing upon you. Brother Branham made the statement. He said, "We have the baptism in the Holy Ghost." He said, "It's baptism upon baptism upon baptism upon baptism." Right? It's not a one-time deal. He said, "Praise the Lord." What is that? That's God breathing upon this word. He's breathing upon that thought. He's breathing and breathing and breathing. He's breathing life into his word to bring it to pass in your life. Oh, I'm so thankful to be a son of God. So you see what I mean. God speaks. In the third year of Cyrus, king of Persia, a thing was revealed unto Daniel, whose name was called Belteshazzar, and the thing was true, but the time appointed was long. It was going to be a long way out there. But still, he understood the thing, and he had an understanding of the vision there. And he said, "In those days I, Daniel, was mourning 3-4 weeks. I ate no pleasant bread, nor neither came flesh nor wine in my mouth, neither did I anoint myself at all till 3 whole weeks were fulfilled." This man had a need. He was doing some serious crying, wasn't he? And here's the part that, again, I believe Brother Branham was talking about in the quote we read this morning, to people has a lot of hindrances. He was mourning 3 whole weeks. He was fighting it for 3 whole weeks in his flesh. You think, well, that looks like a hindrance, don't it? Yeah, his flesh was. But the promise of God had to be. The promise of God had to be. The angel, when he came to him, the angel Gabriel said, he said, I was hindered, or I was delayed by the prince of Persia, right? Who is the prince of Persia? At this time, Babylon had already gone to the Persians. So Persia, the Medo-Persians were in power now. So the prince of Persia is the spirit, the prince of the power of the air that was over that land. Brother Branham said every nation has a spirit to it. Our nation has a spirit to it, right? It's not necessarily a good thing, right? So here the prince of Persia, Daniel had been in Babylon and into Persia now for 68 years. He'd been living here under this spirit for all this time. And the prince of Persia was hindering him. But it wasn't hindering faith. Well, praise the Lord. How are you, buddy? God bless you, Brother Wade. Amen. See? He lives. Praise the Lord. Amen. Well, the prince of Persia. You shouldn't have put that new battery in there. That prince of Persia.
That prince of Persia was withstanding him. That prince of the power of the air, he had to get through the atmosphere to get to a place to where he could get to that faith. You see, faith has no hindrances, but this thing out here has hindrances. But when Daniel could break through, after 3 weeks of mourning, of crying, of fasting, and all these things, after 3 weeks he was able to break through and get to that place of true faith. And when true faith was, when he hit that spot of faith, I love to say it like that spot of faith, when he gets down there to that place there, then the angel shows up, the angel Gabriel, he says, oh, God heard you from the very first time you set your heart to pray. When you just turned your heart to God, he heard you the very first time. Well, what was he waiting for? You had to come to the spot. You had to come to the spot. Don't give up. Don't give in. Don't stop. Don't just say a prayer and lay your head upon your pillow. Don't just say a prayer and say, oh well. But you push until you get to that spot. You say, wait a minute, I thought faith was unconscious. It is when you get to that spot. You see, if I'd been going fast enough, I'd get all this morning. But it is when you get to that spot. It's unconscious when you get to that spot because that's the word of God that's been spoken. Now it's got to come to pass. You say, oh, if I could just have faith. You do have faith. You've just got to come to that place of faith. Brother Branham said, people has lots of hindrances. Minds have lots of hindrances. Oh man, how we know that. It's a mind battle, ain't it?
Yeah.
It's the greatest battle that's ever been fought. I think this is a very common ailment to humanity here. Brother Branham said, people, that means humanity, all of it. People has lots of hindrances here. And those hindrances, they originate right here in our minds. You can be ever so mean to me, but your meanness or rottenness or whatever, it's really not what hinders me. It's my attitude here towards you. If I can love you even while you hate me, amen, it does not bother me one bit. I say so many times people hold grudges and everything else. They don't forgive. They don't know the power of forgiveness and all these things. And it causes so many problems. And somebody could do you wrong and go on. Your grudge is not hurting them a bit. It's not changed them a bit. It's not doing anything to them. All it's doing is holding you back. Right? Holding me back. That's all it is. We fight in our minds. We wrestle in our minds. We try to get past these flesh and blood bodies and all these things. And what are we doing? We're trying to reach that spot where true faith resides. But the enemy does not want you to reach out and get a hold or find that spot. Because he knows that true faith knows no defeat. It is truly unhindered. No obstacle can stop it. Can't even slow it down. He said, well, man, Abraham had 25 years. Yeah, but I tell you what. When Isaac came, he came right on time. He came right on time. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
It's always in God's appointed time. God's never late.
Right. Amen.
He's never late. They sent for Jesus and said, your friend Lazarus is sick. Right? So Jesus, what does he do? He turns and goes 2 days further away because you see, it wasn't time yet. In God's timing, it wasn't time yet. And when they finally get there, they said, your friend Lazarus, you know, he died. He's sleeping. He tells the disciples, they think he means, well, he's just sleeping. If he sleeps, he's doing well, right? And Jesus says, no, he's dead. I love that. He's dead. You need to get that through your mind. He's dead. And they're like, oh. He said, but for your sakes, not for his, but for your sakes, I'm glad. Now let's go wake him. Oh my. They want no fight. They want no struggle. They're wanting no, they're just sitting there trying to fight. No, Jesus knew exactly what he was doing. Why? Because he was the Son of God. He knew exactly. He was in that spot. He was never out of that spot. But when you can reach that spot too, you can be just as sure of your faith being moving God as Jesus did all the things that he did. God's word cannot lie. Jesus does not show up late. He's always right on time. And the instant you touch the hem of the garment of Jesus, at that point of contact, That spark of faith is there. At that moment you find that spot of faith.
Amen.
Satan is defeated.
Amen.
Satan is defeated this afternoon.
Right.
You can say it's over. Hallelujah.
Amen.
It's over. The battle's over. The fight is over. The struggle is over. How many believe the war's already won?
Right.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. The war's already won. I was going to say, but the battle's still going. But the battle's in this right here. It's not in that spot of faith. And in that spot of faith, he is defeated. It is over. And how encouraging that should be to all of us. And make us strive that much harder to reach that spot. Hallelujah. I'm cutting just as much out of this as I can. Let's see, drop down. There's a quote here. A couple quotes I want to get to here. Brother Branham said, looking at the unseen. I'm going to close right here in a minute. He said, oh, this is looking at the unseen, 1958. He said, oh, if the church of this day could ever pray until they pass the sin barrier and the unbelief barrier, they could shout the victory of a living God when they once passed that barrier by looking to the unseen and letting the world vibrate and do what it wants to do. Oh, just let the world do what it wants to do. But I'm in that spot with God, shut in with God, in that secret place. There's a place of perfect rest behind that inner veil, and that place is called faith. True faith is unhindered. He said, oh, she had many hindrances. It's a little bit further down, the same message, perseverance. He said, as she had many hindrances, she did herself. But her faith didn't have any hindrances. No, faith don't have any hindrance. Faith just believes it. I don't have a hindrance at all. You're already past the sound barrier, as the lady was talking of there. Faith don't have a hindrance. You might have it, but your faith doesn't have it. Your faith has no hindrances at all. So in the midst of the struggle, don't label that struggle as your faith. Don't say, I don't have enough faith. I don't have enough faith. Oh, I've heard that so many times. I've told myself that so many times. I just don't have enough faith. No, you've got faith. You just push on to it. Brother Wade, you're healed, right? Brother Dale, you're healed. Why? The faith is there. It's not like we're waiting on God to come down and bring enough power to heal us. It's already here. Oh, people say, oh, if I could get to the blessings of God, if God would just bless me, that's it. If God would just bless me, I want a blessing. I want a blessing. Listen, the only way you can find a blessing is to get into the presence of God, because God He is the blessing. It's always blessing where God is. The problem is that people don't want to go to where God is. I want to go where He's at. I want the blessing. I want that healing. I want that faith in get to that spot. Run to that spot. Stay in that spot. Hallelujah. When that devil comes and tries to fight you, say, listen, devil, you go off and vibrate yourself to who knows what. I don't care. I could care less, because I'm a child of God and it's okay.
Amen.
People have many hindrances, but God don't. God don't. Praise the Lord. God don't. Daniel said he lifted up his eyes and he saw all the saints down through the ages and through the Bibles, that they lifted up their eyes and they looked and they saw. Abraham lifted up his eyes and he saw. Isaac lifted up his eyes and he saw. He saw that promise. He saw Rebekah coming. Jacob lifted up his eyes and he saw. He saw the angels ascending and descending upon the ladder there. Daniel said in verse 5 of that same chapter, we're reading verse 10, he said, I lifted up my eyes and I looked. What eyes do you reckon he was looking with? Brother Branham on the river there, he lifted up his eyes and he saw the pillar of fire coming down. Some said they saw it, others said they didn't see it. Some heard the voice speaking, some didn't hear the voice speaking. Jesus cried out one time and said, Father, glorify thy name. And the voice came out of heaven and said, I have both glorified it, and I will glorify it again. And some that were there said it thundered, right? You know what the, why, you know why that is? That people said, look, the Bible, Paul in describing his Damascus Road experience, in one place he said that the people that were with him heard it and saw it, and another place that he said they didn't. And people said, see, the Bible contradicts itself. It's not right. And Brother Branham said this here and that and everything else there. You know what the difference is? There were those there that had eyes that could see. They were looking again. I'm not going to get there, but they were looking on through their eyes of their theophany, and they could see. They were seeing what he was seeing. Amen. That's why some sitting in the rows there, and they would, Brother Branham would say, oh, you see that pillar of fire? Most didn't see it, but some saw it. Why? Because they were looking through different sets of eyes. Some were looking through their carnal eyes trying to see it. People say, oh, if I could just hear God speak. God don't speak anymore. I said, God speaks all the time. You're just not listening with the right ears. God speaks continuously. Oh, I can't hear him. It's because you're trying to hear him through these natural things right here. They're deaf, dumb, and no good. Amen. But you start speaking or listening through the heart, the ears that are of the heart, the ears of your theophany. You start listening through there, and oh, I guarantee you, you hear God speaking and singing all the time. The presence of God is always there. He's here right now. Amen. I can feel him. Hallelujah. Not just with this right here, but there's eagle eyes. There's eagle ears. There's a presence that's there. God is continuously. That's the blessing of God. He speaks. What eyes do you think Daniel saw through? What eyes did Abraham see through? What eyes do you see through? I lifted up my eyes and I looked. Lift up your eyes this afternoon, church. I don't know what your needs are, but I know you got them. I don't know what you're fighting with, but I know that you're fighting. If you're not fighting, we probably need to carry you on to the coroner. You need to be down in a funeral home somewhere. Because if you're above the ground and you're still breathing, you got problems. Right? You got problems. But the answer to every one of your problems, it lays in Jesus. Just get to where he's at. Faith knows no hindrance. Stand with me if you would this afternoon. Oh my. I remember when Brother Jackie Benton used to come through. And in the service he would start singing that old thing, faith in God will move a mighty mountain. Now I can't sing. I'm not Brother Jackie. Brother Jackie could really sing. I love Brother Jackie. I tell you what, he would come and he would sing the beginning of the service, he would sing the same verse, the same song, just over and over and over and over. And the little kids are there like, how many times are you going to sing that? And I'd say, he's going to sing it till the Spirit of the Lord comes down. He's going to sing it until you can feel it. Right? Why? Because he knew that if the people would get in a spot to where the presence of God could be shed out, it was going to be a good time. Yeah, I believe that same thing's true today. Amen. Right. Can you sing that? Faith in God will move a mighty mountain? Who's singing tonight? You singing? Amen. I'll sing with you. I'll go down here and sing. Amen. God bless you, saints. I love you. I love you, and I'm just going to quit just like that. Amen. You just saw my Houdini act. The Lord is good, is he not? Amen. Thank you for bearing with me. I love you, folks. It's been a joy to be here. Amen. If you ever get time to come by Claimable Way, y'all come see us. Amen. Don't leave your post of duty, but when your pastor comes, you can come too. How about that? God bless y'all. Amen. Faith in God. Amen. I love you, Brother Dale.
Y'all help me. Brother Dutch, you're just going to have to help me. I don't know all the words.
Faith in God can move a mighty mountain. Faith in God.
Okay.
First of all, y'all bear with me. I got to calm my heart down because as soon as he hit that spot, my heart jumped out of my chest. I got to tell you, I experienced exactly what he said this past week. I'm going to try to condense it, and you're going to know every spot I hit on. I've been going for the past 4 years. I've had a rash on my body, very itchy. I've been to 3 dermatologists' offices. And it always came back, bug bites. I shut it down carnally because I'm like, people live with me and I'm the only one getting bit by this bug. Shut it down, Brother Dutch.
Amen.
Okay. I went to a skin cancer dermatologist on Friday. Now, I'm not sharing this testimony because I'm not going to give you all resolve, that hallelujah resolve. But the doctor said, she read the reports because I brought the 3. All 3 of them said bug bites. Shut it down. It didn't make sense. So I went to the skin doctor, cancer doctor. She said, has no one treated this? And I said, no. And you know why, Brother Dutch? Because I shut it down. I had to go to Brother Bob. I went boldly before the throne on Thursday night and I said, Lord, I gotta have an answer because I was getting close to the edge. I'm gonna be real with y'all. I was getting close to the edge. Who itches 24/7 all day, every day, drawing blood? And I went boldly, Bob, on my knees on Thursday night. I said, Lord, I need an answer tomorrow. I need an answer.
Amen.
And don't you know, I went to the skin clinic. She made me feel good. She rubbed my back. She said, we're going to get you some relief.
Amen.
Okay, so I went home, Brother Don.
Amen.
And the Lord led me to those 3 reports that I never read. And it uses the terminology anthrop. Anthrop is an animal. It was bug bites. But the doctor's delivery, all 3 of them said bug bites. That's why I shut it down. I read for myself what it meant, and he brought me back to the time. And the question was, why isn't anyone else getting bit by this bug?
Right.
I wasn't the only one bit by the bug. There was 4 other people.
Right.
But I'm the only one that's highly allergic to the flea. I went boldly, Brother Bob. Brother Dutch, thank you. My heart is about to have a heart attack. You probably brought me from the heart attack. I sat there the whole time. I'm like, Brother Dutch, you got to let me come up here. I don't want to interrupt. No, I don't want to do that. But my heart is pounding.
Amen.
Thank you so much. I lived what he just preached this week.
Amen.
And it's over because it's over.
That's
it's
right.
Done.
Amen.
I'm not letting it stop me anymore. It's done.
It's done.
It is done.
That's right.
No more hindrance is what I'm saying. I hope I'm getting across to everybody.
No
right. More hindrance. I was hindering it.
That's right.
He told me 3 times the same message, that still small voice,
right.
Told me. And I ignored it because I was carnal in my mind.
Right.
Bug bites, bug bites, bug bites. 3 times the Lord told me. And I shut it down
right.
Until I went boldly. I need an answer today, Lord. And he gave me the answer.
Praise the Lord.
Praise God.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you.
Amen. Amen. Faith in God can move a mighty mountain. Faith can calm the troubled sea. Faith
again, faith in God.
Faith in God can move a mighty mountain. Faith can calm the troubled sea. Faith can make a desert like a fountain. Faith can bring the victory.
One more time.
singing unto him, faith in God can move a mighty mountain. Faith can calm the troubled sea. Faith can make a desert like a fountain. Faith can bring the victory.
Let's sing It's Already Done.
Oh, it's already done. It's already done. The battle is over. The victory is won. It's already done. It's already done. It's already done. The battle is over. The victory is won. It's already done.
Sing it like this. I'm already healed.
Oh, I'm already healed. I'm already healed. The battle is over. The victory is won. I'm already healed. I'm already healed. The battle is over. The victory is won. 'Cause I'm already healed.
My family is sealed.
Oh, my family is sealed. My family is sealed. The battle is over. The victory is won. Family is sealed.
It's already done.
Oh, it's already done. It's already done. The battle is over. The victory is won. It's already done.
Once again, it's already done.
It's already done. It's already done. The battle is over. The victory is won. It's already done.
I am already healed.
I'm already healed. I'm already healed. The battle is over. The victory is won. I'm already healed.
Once again now, I'm already healed.
Oh, I'm already healed. I'm already healed. The battle is over. The victory is won. 'Cause I'm already healed.
Oh, it's already done.
Oh, it's already done. It's already done. The battle is over. The victory is won. It's already done. The battle is over. The victory is won. It's already done.
Give the Lord a clap of praise.
It's already done. When it's already done, you say it's done.
That's right.
And it's done.
Amen.
So let's say it's already done.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
That's our benefit. Saying it's already done. Tell Brother Dutch you appreciate him. You appreciate him coming and being with us and fellowshipping with us and having a good time. We've known Brother Dutch for quite a while. And we love him. He's always got a time he can come by here.
Praise the Lord.
So then it's already done. Anything anybody has to say before?
Praise
you
to God.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
Anybody?
Tuesday night service, not Wednesday.
Tuesday night. All right. Tuesday night service, not Wednesday. Because we got to get it set where we can move on for the week. So we can do it. We'll do that. So remember, Tuesday night, not Wednesday. Anything else?
Brother Bob will be preaching.
Brother Bob.
Brother Bob will be preaching.
Yeah. We know that. So we. Anybody else? Make sure you tell Brother Dutch how much you appreciate him. Because we do. Let's just end in prayer. Father, we thank you for, Lord, it's done. It's part of a product that we have an opportunity to say it is done. Just go with us. Take care of everybody. Thank you for bringing Wade home. In Jesus' name. You're dismissed.
It's already